Great to have everybody here this evening. Rather be here than the best hospital in town, right? Yes, sir. We've got a lot to be thankful for, don't we?
Yes, sir.
Let's go to the Lord in prayer and ask Him to bless our meeting. Father, we just thank You, Lord, for the wonderful honor to call You Father. You sent Your only Son to die on the cross so that people like me could be born again. And Father, I'm so thankful for that. And I thank You for these drivers that have come in, that's taken their time to come and fellowship with us. And Lord, I just pray that something to be said here tonight to encourage them and to bless them, Lord. And I pray Your protection around about them as they travel and to spread Your gospel near and far. God, I thank You for all that You do. We ask You to just take over now and lead and guide and direct us through this Bible study that in a way that would bring You glory. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
All right. We're going to be bouncing around some scripture. We'll get your Bible out, and we'll start in Hebrews 4:12. Hebrews 4:12 in that little Bible. We're going to be reading out the New King James, yep, tonight. So if you got your own, it may be a little bit different. I think you got a parallel Bible, didn't I see? So you got two of them together, so that's good. I want to talk to you a little bit tonight about the Word. The Word. What is the Word? Anybody know? The Bible. That's right. The Bible. The Bible is the infallible, inerrant Word of God. And you go to places today, they won't tell you that. They'll tell you that's not true. There's a big movement today in churches, and it's not one certain church, by the way. It's a group that's infiltrating. In fact, they're working hard in Southern Baptist churches, and I can say that. I'm in one. I know who they are. It's an organization that's infiltrating, that's teaching that it's possible that the Bible be wrong. And they've got a couple of other things that goes downhill from there. I mean, as far as I'm concerned, if it's wrong, just throw it in the trash and go do something else. You know? And that's why when you're joining a church, or if you're in a church, you need to do some research. I don't have time tonight to cover that, but I'll be glad to talk to you later. And just make sure of what your church believes. Make sure of whoever's teaching you, be it Truck Stop Ministries or some whoever. But the Bible is the absolute inerrant Word of God. In other words, there's no error in it. That's what that means. Infallible, of course, means it can't fail. That's impossible. People talk about what if, like we were talking about a while ago a little bit, what if this, what if that. Some people say, what if it's not true? No, that's a logical question. What if? What if there's no God? What if we're wrong? And, of course, my response is, if I'm wrong and you're right, I hadn't lost anything. I've had the biggest thrill of my life just living this life. But if I'm right and you're wrong, what's going to happen to you? If you're betting that there's no God, okay? So, and again, I've said many, many times that you, the driver, are the greatest evangelist the world's ever had. Because you go from place to place to place and spreading the gospel, hopefully. This brother's got Philippians 4:13 on the top back of his sleeper. He pulls a step deck. So unless he's loaded, you can see that all the time. And probably some load, you'd still see it, right? And he's talking.
I'm thinking about putting lights on it for that night.
There you go. Put a floodlight on it. Let the redeemed say so. Well, the word, look at Hebrews 4:12. I want to talk about the word is alive, it's powerful, and this scripture says it's sharper than a two-edged sword. Now think about this for a minute. That's pretty doggone sharp. Look what it says. For the word of God is living and powerful, is sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit, and of joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Wow. And there's no creature hidden from his sight, but all things are naked and open to the eyes of him to whom we must give account. There's no hiding from God, right? I remember a long time ago when I had still running my truck and, you know, always looking for cheap fuel, you know, I found out one time it wasn't cheap fuel, it was expensive water that I bought at this place. And I knew this place was a house of ill repute. I mean, I knew that. I went in there just to fuel and go on my way. That's before I learned better. But anyway, I went in, and of course, it was one of those times I just had to have a cup of coffee. So I went in, fueled, walked on in, stood there at the bar and asked for a cup of coffee. And of course, she come and presented herself, and I said, no thanks, and, you know, trying to just drink my coffee and get out of there. And she just kept insisting. I said, how dark is it back there? She said, oh, baby, I can make it dark, you know, whatever you want. I said, well, you go get it dark enough God can't see us, and I'll come join you. And, of course, when I said that, it was like I had leprosy all of a sudden. Yeah. I didn't get no more coffee. But I don't say that to, I'm not saying anything to downgrade her, because she's savable. It don't matter who it is, I want a witness to them, amen? And like I say, I've learned how to do it a little bit better than going in and buying the fuel or whatever anymore. Okay, it says it is living and powerful, so it's very much alive. Now, we'll get to that in a minute, okay? The word is also perfect. You don't have the Old Testament, but in 2 Samuel 22:31, it says, as for God, his way is perfect. The word of the Lord is proven. He is a shield to all who trust in him. It's perfect. It never fails. The word is our light in a very dark world. Psalms 119:105. It says, your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. I heard one preacher on a tape that was sent to me. He said, this is low beams and high beams. Now think about that as a driver. You know, the word is a lamp unto our feet, right here, and a light to the path out yonder. Now, just think about that for a minute. Those nights that's foggy, I'd rather drive in anything but fog. You know, just the snow or whatever, that's not bad. The fog just get me. Because I was always wondering what's in there, what's in there with me. But now, you run into fog, do you put the high beams on? No, that's the last thing you want to do, right? So we don't need to look way down the road. When trouble comes, we need to watch where we are. Not worry about a mile down the road, okay? Think of this in a spiritual aspect. This is what the Lord was showing me as I was studying this. It was like, okay, and when you're in trouble or in a dangerous situation such as fog, we don't need to be looking way down yonder. We need to watch where we are. Watch where we're stepping, right? And, of course, you could apply that to hunting or fishing or you know, in dangerous area. Watch where you step. The Word of God is also that lamp to my feet, but then when I need it, it's a light to my path. In other words, he knows where I'm going. The word will never pass away. Matthew 24:35. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will by no means pass away. Word ain't going nowhere. It's forever. You know, they could come along and burn every one of these books called the Bible, you know. They could burn every one of them. That don't change nothing. The word's still alive. Amen? Amen. And I tell you what, in this day and time, it would behoove us to make sure we got it in our heart. Because we don't know what we're in for. We don't know what we're in for. We are planning right now some strategy just in case. I mean, as Truck Stop Ministries, we're planning strategy just in case the truck stops say get the chapels out and don't come back. That's possible. It could happen. Now, I don't, you know, under present conditions, no. But there's some things happen already. I would have said no. That ain't never going to happen. But it's happening today. The Bible not going anywhere. Turn to John chapter 1 in your Bible. John chapter 1. I want to find out who is the Word. I want you to notice in John 1:1 how it describes the Word. John chapter 1, verse 1, we'll read about five verses there or so. Yeah, what page is that on, somebody?
90.
90?
91.
91. Close.
Well, I don't have the number on 91.
What did it say? In the beginning was what?
The Word.
And the Word was with who?
God.
And the Word was God. Now notice in verse 2 it says, He was in the beginning with God. All right? If you got God and the Word, but now it says He. Who's he talking about? Jesus. Jesus Christ is the Word, and the Word is Jesus. That's why the Old Testament said it's alive. In another place he said, Matthew, Jesus said, heaven and earth will pass away. Everything you see is going to be gone someday, but my Word will never pass away. And the reason he said that is because the Word is Jesus. He's forever. We know that he left God. You know, the birth, the virgin birth is a wonderful story. I just get excited all over again just thinking about that. That it happened. That's a wonderful thing, but that was not the origin of Jesus. You know that. That's when he was named Jesus. But he was with God all the time. He was with God the Father when he created Adam. Remember that in Genesis? He said, let us create man in our image. Plural. Proves the plurality of the Godhead. Not only that, it proves that they were exactly the same at the same time, because he said, let us make man in our image. So there's only one image, and there's two of us. So you see, and there again, our little pea brain mind cannot pick up the Trinity, so don't even try.
It's a tough thing to understand.
That's right. We just receive it and go on. And no, the word Trinity is not in the Bible, but the triune Godhead is there very clearly. It says, in the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. Then it says, all things were made through him, and without him, nothing was made that was made. In him was life, and the life was what?
The light of
men. The light of men. In him was life. People blame God on death today. There's nothing in the Bible to prove that. Now, we grow older and die, yes. I mean, we're getting older every minute. And we die from old age. But sometimes I've heard the people say that, you know, God called a person home. Well, that's not scripturally correct, okay? Don't want to get into splitting hairs, but I'll get into that with you afterwards if you want to, and I'll show you where I'm coming from. But it says here, in him was life. In other words, what does John 10:10 say? The thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy, but Jesus said, but I have come that you might have what? Life, and have it
abundantly.
That's right. See, you put John 1:4 together with John 10:10, and it just shows life, life, life. See, Jesus conquered death on the cross. And again, he is forever. He's not going away. There's never going to be a time when Jesus is not. There's never been a time when he was not. And again, how in the world do you fix, you know, my little pea brain computer can't pick that up. What was that old story used to be on TV, that space thing? He said, that does not compute.
Yeah.
That old robot walking around said, that does not compute. Yeah, exactly. You're old enough to remember it, see? And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it, or in other words, there is overcoming. The darkness has not overcome it. Same thing. If that weren't true today, see, that's a law that God put into place. And if it weren't true today, if it didn't work, it wouldn't do you any good to turn your lights on. Because the dark would override the light. Can you imagine that? Of course not. The light overrides the dark, just like in here. Fills this whole room with light. Same thing, when Jesus comes into our heart, when we let him come into our heart, that light comes in and the darkness has to flee. He will not cohabitate with the devil. That ain't going to happen. Both of them are not going to be there, okay, at the same time. It's up to you and me which one is there. Now drop down to verse 14 in that same passage. And we'll see once again that the Word of God is Jesus. And it says in verse 14, and the Word became flesh. Well, there's his birth, right? There's where Jesus was born. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. That's Jesus. So the Word is Jesus. The Word won't pass away. The Word is sharp, and the Word is powerful, and the Word's everlasting. So I can put my confidence and faith and trust in the Word. Nothing else. Nothing else. Not what Chaplain Joe says, or what Carrie says, or what anybody says. This is it. This is it. And we need to know what the Word says. Otherwise, we could be misled. Because there's some out there that have what we commonly call charisma, meaning people follow them. And we've seen the Jim Jones, and we've seen the this, that, and the other, the people followed right into some ritual act and actual death. You know, he started out with the Bible, right? Probably started out right, who knows? But somewhere along the line, somewhere along the way, got off course and got out of the Bible. And that's easy to do, because we all got flesh we have to deal with, right? It's this old human flesh. I don't know about yours, but mine don't like this. That's right. It's a sinful flesh. Everybody. And we never get rid of the sinful flesh. It's always there, always wanting to do what's not right. What did Paul say about it? He said, the things I want to do, I don't do, and the things I need to do, or the things I do, I don't want to do. I get that mixed up every time. Need to read that. But he said that fight with the flesh is still going on. All right? Turn over to... let's see, time-wise. Let's go to 2 Timothy. How could I know that all of this is true? 2 Timothy 2. I've said this earlier. We need to know what the Word says. There's only one way to do that. It's not dependent on something else. 209? Page 209 in the little Bible. This is one of my all-time favorite scriptures. Timothy here, by the way, for those that don't know, was a protege of Paul's. He called him son in the Lord. He was not his physical son, but he was somebody that come up and he taught him the Word and taught him basically everything he knew. He just kind of took him under his wing, and Timothy traveled with him a lot and was right there with him all the time. And so Timothy is a repeat of Paul, just about, right? And you can't get no better company than that. You can't get no better company than that. Sometimes I hear drivers say, well, you don't know my past. Your past was rosy side of Paul's. I don't care who you are. And God saved him. Right? He'll save anybody. But 2 Timothy 2:15 says, be diligent. And another version says, study to present yourself approved to God, a workman or a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Study or be diligent to present yourself approved to God. Study the Word. Know the Word. What does the Word say? You need to know that. Best investment you can make is getting the Bible on CD or tape, put it in your truck. Just let it play. Let it play. My last job I had, which was a fantastic job, but I bought my wife gave it to me then on cassette. That's how old that is. Way back. And in fact, my truck, the logo had an 8-track in it. That's how old it was. But she gave me the Bible on tape, and I decided to do an experiment. I'm a dissector. You know what I mean? I want to tear something up and see how come it runs. Explain to me how that runs, you know, or whatever. And I told my wife, I want you to watch me, and I want you, and I don't have to do that. She's going to do it anyway, but I don't have to invite her to do that. But what I would do is when I stopped to go to sleep in the truck, turn the CB off, of course, and everything. I'll put a cassette of the Bible in there and just let it play. The truck, it had automatic reverse, so it would play that tape till it burned up or you got up, one or the other. And I did that day after day after day after day. And what I realized, come to realize, was, guess what I'm hearing all the time? The Word. Romans 10:17, faith cometh by
the Word.
Yep. And I learned something. I said, wow, you know, this is neat. I'm sleeping anyway. I got nothing better to do. Of course, now it takes a little to get used to somebody talking to sleep. Now they've got it with music behind it, and they've got it when he talks about walking along the seashore, you hear the waves clashing. Got all of that now. This is the old age. You know, it was just Alexander Scorby reading it then. And that's about as dull as you can get. But it was the Word, see. It doesn't matter who's reading it or how they're reading it. It was the Word, and it was being pumped into my spirit, not my mind. It went by there into my spirit because I
heard.
There you go. See, Satan's not so afraid of what we read. He's afraid of what we hear. Because what we read, and you've heard me say this, but it goes in your mind. And that's Satan's playground. He's up there too, right? But what you hear goes in your spirit, man. And again, he don't cohabitate. If you're a born-again Christian, the Holy Spirit lives in our spirit, right? He makes his abode there. He said he'll stay there. And he thrives off the Word of God because he's the guy that wrote it to start with. Or I should say told the authors to write it, right? He's the one that was telling Peter to write that and John to write that and Paul and so on and so forth. He penned, or he didn't pen it, but dictated it, if you please. And he's the one that lives in us. That's awesome when you think about it. He lives in me. God, the Holy Spirit, lives in me and in you, if you're born again. So, he says, we need to be a worker that needs not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. One version says handling, rightly handling the word of truth. What version you got there on the left? What you got there? What version of the Bible is that?
15.
No. What have you got?
What kind of Bible you got?
The
International Bible.
All right, that's it. The New International Version. There says rightly handling the word of truth. I like that. Handling. How do we handle the word of truth? And we need to handle it. We need to have it on us, if you please. So how do we do that? We do it by getting it inside of us, because Matthew 12:34 says, out of the abundance of the heart, or the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. If it's not in here, it can't come out there. See? And if it is in here, it's going to come out there sooner or later. It's not that you'll quote it verbatim, all right, because that's not what it's about. But you'll find yourself sharing things with drivers that you didn't know you knew.
You can't give it away if you don't have it.
Exactly. Exactly. Just like the old thing about a computer, garbage in, garbage out. That worked with us too. I mean, you can buy the finest computer there is on earth, and if you don't put something in it, you can't get anything out of it. It's got to be programmed. It's got to be put in it. Same way with us. We need the Word. We need to get past the believing the Word stage into the knowing the Word. Turn to James chapter 1. James chapter 1 in the little Bible. We need to get past just believing. We need to get to where we know it. We know it. How long have you owned your truck, that Peterbilt with a drop deck?
I've had that 10 years.
How long?
10 years.
10 years. You know that truck inside and out, don't you?
I know it when it squeaks, yep.
Yep. Yeah, I mean, any little something, you say, whoop,
yep.
Something, you know, right? That's how I think we need to know the Word of God. And Carrie, you remember that. When you drive a truck a long, long, that's why I would never take a job slip seating, because I didn't want that. I want my truck, so I'll know if something's going wrong, I'll know it, right?
I
preferably before it happened. And that's the way we should be with the Word of God, to the point, if I stand up here and say anything, you should know, yes, it does, or no, it don't. Right? When somebody shares that, no, it don't. The Bible, and see, I'm too much like Peter in a case like that. When somebody says something, I tend to speak and think later. That's not a good plan, necessarily. But I'll be quick to say, of course, what I usually say is a little nicer. I'll say, would you please show me that in the Bible? Would you please show me that? And many times they will look at it and say, well, you know where it's at. I say, apparently I don't. I mean, I've never seen it. If you say the Word of God says that, show it to me. I'm from Missouri. Show me. Right? And we should know that and get beyond believing. James 1, 19. Are you there?
Yeah, we are. Page 225 or 4.
So then, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear. Why don't it say every woman there? But anyway. Let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath, for the wrath of man does not produce the righteousness of God. Therefore lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness, and receive with meekness the implanted word, right? Which is able to do what?
Save
your soul. Man. The only thing that'll save us, right?
Right.
Is the Word. Jesus dying on the cross. I've had people say, well, that's just a gory, bloody religion. It ain't a religion, but it's bloody. And if it hadn't been, the Bible says without shedding of blood, there's no remission of sin. None. There's no hope if he hadn't done that. So we know that we need to be receive with meekness the implanted word. All right, now verse 22. Here's the thing. I love to go and hear my pastor speak. I love to hear different people speak because that's how I learn, of course. I love to hear, I got my own favorites and you have too. And hearing it, like tonight, is great. Fellowshipping is great. But guess what? What does verse 23 say we're supposed to do? Anybody see that?
Be doers, not hearers.
Yeah. Oh, my. I mean, verse 22. That's right. Be doers of the word. What does that mean?
Live it.
Exactly. You put that on the back of your sleeper.
It holds you to a higher standard.
The whole world sees it, right?
Yeah. And that's fine.
That's right. I remember the truck and the logo. In the center of the front bumper, it said, to God be the glory. And I had trouble with temper, okay? And especially blowing my horn at four-wheelers that get in my way. That was the beginning,
yeah.
Early stages.
Yeah.
Well, one day, after I got that truck and put that on there, this car did pull out in front of me right there on Jonesboro Road, to be exact, going through Morrow, going to the house. And I reached up to grab the horn, and it was like the Holy Spirit said, don't you do it. He said, when he looks in the mirror, he or she looks in the mirror, they don't see Joe Hunter. What does they see? God. See, his name. It's like having Carrie on there or your name on there. I'm representing you.
If I put that on, I don't hear my horn very much.
You know what I did? I went on to Jonesboro, went to the house, and got my scraper, and was going to take it off.
No.
Oh, yeah.
But you did.
But I couldn't. I stood down in front of the truck on the driveway there. I'll never forget it. Had one of them, razor blade scraper thing, because it was stuck on letters in that case. And I struggle with that thing, and I said, well, I will. No, I can't. Yes, I am. No, I'm not. I mean, this went on back and forth, and I finally said, okay, Lord, you win. You told me to put it on there. It stays. So now you're going to have to help me. Help me overcome that part of my flesh, see, that was still in control. And then that's what made me think, see, is like when they come up behind you, they don't see your name. What's your name?
Mark.
It don't say Mark.
No.
You're now following Mark. It don't say that, does it? It says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Philippians 4:13, right on the back. See, he's already stated who he is without saying anything. But he's already made a statement. And to tell you the truth, sometimes that's good because it forces us sometimes to live it.
That's blowing of the horn. It didn't happen overnight.
That's right.
I gave him to sin, but now it's less and less all the time.
You struggle with that too, right?
Absolutely.
And you know, just being honest, you know, we got to...
Something we all do.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. One day I'm going to be that person in that four wheeler and maybe not be as observant or notice what I pull out from up here.
And I'm getting there. I hate to say it.
Amen.
Elderly wise. But it says, you know, it said, be doers of the word, not hearers only, deceiving yourself. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, look at this. He is like a man observing his natural face in a mirror. For he observes himself, goes away and immediately forgets what kind of man he was. He forgets that image, right? But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it, and is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this one will be blessed in what he does. You want to be blessed? I do. I tell him right quick, I'm greedy for God's blessing. Because I can't get one of yours. Did you know that? I cannot get one of anybody's. He's got a whole truckload up there with my name on it. If I can get myself lined up with his word. And we're not talking about the biggest house on the block. We're not talking about the biggest car. Nothing like that. But blessing. Blessing. In fact, I got to replace the rear tires on my dually. Now I wish it wasn't a dually. Got four tires instead of two. But you know, I got to thinking. I bought that truck in 2003, and somewhere in that next year, I put those tires on there. And this is what, 2010?
You almost got your money's worth.
I thought about complaining, you know, these just...
Yeah.
But what I'm saying is, to me, that's a blessing of God. He made them last longer, right?
Yeah.
Now, of course, you know, we maintain them, keep the air and all that stuff, but that's a little bit much. I know truck drivers today, owner-operators, that are getting phenomenal fuel mileage. Why? In fact, one of them got so many miles on his steer tire, Bridgestone, that made him ask him how to do it. And he's a fisherman. He just kind of smiled at him and said, Jesus. What about air pressure? Yes, I got the right air pressure, but that ain't it. A lot of people got the right air pressure, you know. He said, it's Jesus. I give him his tenth first, right? He's first in everything. Let's go on. That's being a doer of the word instead of a hearer. Back to Psalms, which you don't have. Listen to this. Psalms 139:23. I started doing research, and I got way more than we'll ever cover. But it just kept going about the word, the importance of the word, and being in the word. Psalmist wrote in Psalm 139:23, search me, O God. Now this is opening the door, buddy. This is opening the door. When you say, search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my anxieties, and see if there's any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. See if there's anything wicked in me. I don't have to ask God to look. He already knows. But see, he doesn't bother. He don't do anything unless you give him permission. Think about it. The psalmist, David, right? Well, I don't know if he wrote this one. He wrote most of the psalm. Boy, he had some problems, didn't he? Was he perfect? No. Abraham was called a friend of God. The only one in the Bible that's called a friend of God. Was he perfect? No. We talked about him Sunday night, son. But you know what he did when they got caught, when they thought they were going to get in trouble? He told the king that his wife was his sister because she's so beautiful, so the king would take her and let him live. That don't sound like a man of God, does it? But of course, the king was visited. You know that story. An angel went and told him he better not touch her. And he went back and told Abraham, what are you trying to do to me? This is paraphrasing a little bit. What are you trying to do? Was the word working in him at that moment? No. Absolutely not. Does it work in us all the time? No. No. Like you say, we work on things. You know? I run into people all the time. You start sharing with one another, and you find out real quick that, you know, your weakness is probably their strength. You know, where I'm weak, you're strong. But thank God, maybe where you're weak, I'm strong, and therefore we get together. Instead of dwell on our weaknesses, we need to share the strength. There you go. And the body of Christ needs to get together. Forget about what denomination you are. Okay? The body of Christ is all of them. The church is the body of Christ. Amen? What's here?
God don't care.
He don't care. You mean he's not going to be impressed when I tell him what church I was a member of? John 15:7. John 15:7. We need to make sure the word is in us. What page is that?
109.
Normally I do, but last few weeks I've been lazy. I just hadn't done. If you abide in me. Now notice this. Jesus is talking here in John. And what's the first word of verse 7? If. You know what that tells me? It's optional. It's optional. It's not automatic. If you abide in me, my word's abiding you, you will ask what you desire, and it shall be done for you. Wow. Anything. Anything. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, so you'll be my disciples. How are you going to bear fruit? Sharing the word. Sharing the word. A pecan tree puts off what? And some of y'all may say pecan, but mine's pecans. Yeah. In my yard, there's two pecan trees. My wife orders pecan pie in a restaurant, and I say, I want pecan myself. But you know what? What does those trees put off? Only one kind. Right? We got the plum trees over there. We got the grapevines over there, the scufflings. And by the way, last year they were almost breaking with them. Right? That's all it puts off. Now, we look at that vine right now. All the leaves are gone, you know, and it looks terrible. You look at it now and say, well, I wonder what that is. Possibly. I remember when we moved in this house, the peach tree was out there, and there was no leaves on it at all. We thought, well, I wonder what that is, you know. Well, it's come springtime. I knew. I recognized that leaf, right?
We had a tree that a guy had grafted in.
Mm. Oh, wow. We were blessed with that. How do we use the word? Turn to 2 Timothy with me. We'll try to wrap this up somewhere. I got another page. 2 Timothy 4. 209?
Timothy 4.
Mm-hmm. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1. Says this, again, we're back to Timothy. I charge you therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who will judge the living and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. What does it say to do?
Preach the word.
Preach the word. You say, I'm not a preacher. Want to bet? Want to bet? Take the pee off.
Teacher.
Take the pee off.
Reacher.
Aha. Now, isn't that what we're all supposed to be doing? Again, you guys are where the ministry is. You pull a step deck, right? You pull over width, over height. What do you pull?
Reefer.
All right. Now, you two will probably not go to the same ship or receiver, right? But he's got you planted there, you over there, and you over there on purpose. That's not an accident. And we got the bed bug haulers, right? They're not going to do anything but that, and that kind of blows my mind. But anyway, they love to do that. Well, they're in contact with people that we would never see. I see God's plan to evangelize the world, to take the gospel to every living creature. What'd he say? He says, preach the word, be ready in season and out of season. One preacher I heard say that means preach when you feel like it, preach when you don't feel like it. In season and out of season. But it goes on to say, convince, rebuke, exhort. Now look at that. Rebuke and exhort. That's opposite, right? In other words, we don't come at you condemning you, but at the same time, we need to share the word in its truth, in private, maybe. Brother, what you're doing is wrong. Or sister, what you're doing is wrong. But at the same time, it says, then exhort. That means encourage. Encourage. Yes, you can. Yes, you can make it. Yes, you can. I did. Thousands of others have. You can too. Right? That's what I do is I look, and many times I love my grandchildren. Love the grandchildren. Wish I could have had them first. But, you know, you can do it. That child learning to walk, they fall down and bust their little honey, right? But they look at you and say, he walked, I can walk, right? That kind of determination, right? They get up right again. Yep. Well, when we mess up as Christians, not if, when, all right? That's right. Father, I'm sorry. I missed it that time. I hate to say how many times I've had to say that over not witnessing to somebody. And, of course, they're gone. There isn't no second chance with that person, right? Did I witness properly? That's why I like something on my truck, catch the ones I don't talk to all the time, right? Just a witness. And that blesses thousands, like right now, people walking by that truck seeing the Word of God, all right? It's witnessing, it's ministering now. Of course, if you're a company driver, you can't do that. We understand that. They won't let you. But we could do it in some way. You could have that same thing on a card in your pocket. You can have tracks. We got plenty of free tracks back there. Don't scatter them all over truck stop, by the way. They just go in the trash. Don't do that. Hand them to somebody. Nobody can complain for that. I mean, the truck stop's not going to mind if you're sitting there and say, by the way, this has been a blessing to me. Or whatever, right? So we not only convince, that is, teach, we rebuke, that is, we correct, we exhort or encourage with all long-suffering. It says verse 3, and I think we could almost put 2010 right there. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers, and they will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables. That's what's happening today, isn't it? I don't like that church. Yeah. I won't call the names of Bun, but I was talking to a good friend of mine who worked on my farm tractor. He's retired now. And he changed denomination. And I said, just out of curiosity, is it family or what? Why would you do that? And I've changed, don't get me wrong, over the years. There ain't nothing wrong with that. But I asked him, why did he do that? He said, called the name of the others, said they preached against drinking too much. I didn't pursue that. I guess we know where that deals.
Yeah.
Well, see, I don't want to be corrected either. My flesh don't want to be corrected. But I know my spirit says you're going to have to be corrected or we're going to stay in the same place, right? So we better just take it, say, okay, Lord, I'm sorry. Let me learn from this mistake. Let me learn from this sin that you've delivered me from so I don't do it no more. See, repent means to turn around. Repent's not just confessing our sin. That's, of course, part of it. But to repent, the word repent means to do 180 and go the other way. We need to get away from the sin. Get away from whatever it is. In my case, it was pornography. See, I couldn't go around it anywhere because that was my weakness and my flesh was still there, right? So I'd be stupid to walk into one of the places to witness. Okay? And you hear that. People are having trouble drinking, for instance, and they want to go back to the bar to witness. I beg your pardon. That's like playing with a rattlesnake, man. That's crazy. That don't work. That don't work. I'm sorry?
Unconscious reason to go.
Yeah. Well, it's kind of a natural habitat in a way. You know, we think we'd be comfortable there because that's where we've always been, but you're a new person, so you don't fit no more, right? Now, don't get me wrong. I don't criticize none of them. I don't run them down. But it's like, boxing. We're going to do it in my corner, not yours, right? I'm not going over there where you got help. You come out here.
You have to question.
Exactly. And you know, I'm just sharing a little bit of what I've ran up with over the years that people tell me their reason to do what they're doing. But my word says, my Bible says that if we're a new creature of Christ, we'll get away from that sort of thing. I don't want it anymore. I don't give it up. I don't want it no more. Because God has changed me inside, and only because I allowed him to do that. Right? He doesn't force feed you. He doesn't force us to do anything. But he changes us. Now, 1 Peter 2. I want to read you this, unless you want to turn over there. 1 Peter 2, verse 9 says, "This I love this. But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation." Are you talking about hobnobbing with the big boys? Listen, he said, as born-again Christians, we're a chosen generation, a holy nation, a royal priesthood, his own special people. Wow. Wow. I got friends that if I call their name anywhere in the world, that somebody know who it is. Okay? Thankful they're my friends, but that don't mean squat.
No.
What I like to say is the man that designed the universe knows my name. Amen?
Amen.
God the Father designed this whole universe, and he calls me son. Now, that's something to brag about. If you want to brag, I don't mean it bragging, but more thankful. I'm thankful for that. And any time I call on him, he's there. Tonight, you know, if you're not where you ought to be with the Lord, maybe somebody listening to this CD that don't know, for sure. One thing I like about the word is it's definite. It's not maybe or wishy-washy or whatever. There's no question if you read this, you'll know where you stand. And if you don't know tonight, I want to do what I always do here. I want to close with a praying a little prayer. 1 John 1:9 says, "If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sin and cleanse us from all unrighteousness." Now, say, "I'm not living in sin." Well, what about something maybe God is dealing with you about? I don't know. You don't know me, you know. I mean, might be something in my life. I mean it every time I pray it, if I'm praying with somebody else. Because I want, as the psalmist said, "Search my heart. Don't let me hide something." Okay? And I will. My flesh will. If it's left alone, it will go the wrong way. It always will. I don't care who you are. Billy Graham got a sinful nature. And I'm sure Dr. Graham would say that if somebody asked him, right? As far as I'm concerned, one of the greatest that's ever lived. But we need to keep control over our nature, our sinful nature. And tonight, if you're not 100% sure that if you died this minute, that you could go to heaven, I want you to pray with me. And you say, "Well, I'm fine." Well, It won't hurt you to pray it again. It won't do anything. One, if you don't believe it or don't want it, it's not going to do anything. But if something's in your life it shouldn't be, don't have to itemize it. God knows what it is and you know what it is. And just in case somebody around you needs to pray it or wants to pray it, how about let's just do it with them? And we won't know till we get to heaven if or what. That don't matter to me. I just want to give you an opportunity to do that. And I want you to do it a little differently. I want you to pray with your eyes open and heads up. Learn to pray with your eyes open. Because if you go down the road, please don't close your eyes to pray. I might be coming the other way, you know. Might be in that fog with you. But, you know, I say that humorously, but at the same time, very seriously, we can pray anytime, anywhere. You know, just talk to God. Praying is talking to God and listening. Say, I've never heard God. Yes, you have. Right, Sherry?
Yeah.
We've heard God. We may not recognize it as such, but we've heard God's voice. You have. Everybody has. And I'll give you a little class afterwards, if you want it, to show you how you can know. There's no doubt about it. I can hear Jan's voice. I don't care where we are or what we're doing. I know who that is. That's my wife of 43 years. There's no question about that voice. I just say, yes, ma'am, whatever it is. But no, we need to know God's voice that much. So tonight, in closing, if you would, pray this prayer with me out loud, would you? Let's close by praying. Heavenly Father, I come to you in the name of Jesus. I ask you, Lord, to forgive my sins. Come into my heart and help me to be the kind of Christian that you want me to be. And I'll live for you to the best of my ability. I'll read your word. I believe your word. I receive your word. I receive your forgiveness. Thanking you, Jesus, for dying on the cross just for me. In Jesus' name I pray.
Amen.